Welcome to the second preseason Supercoach Coach podcast of season 2017. My name's Marcus, and I'm joined as per usual by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate.
And we're joined by a special guest, first of our season, Faz, regular on the show, joining us for season 2017 for the first time. Welcome, mate.
Yeah, g'day, lads. Great to be back.
And to all our listeners out there, thank you very much for joining us for yet another season. It is our ninth now, last year in the single digits, exciting times. And we're excited to be back and pushing out, hopefully, a valuable preseason for our listeners. If you haven't listened to our first show back, last week we recorded just a quick intro show, a quick 15-minute show, and we also tacked on a little snippet from our Patreon exclusive season review from last year. So if you haven't already, take a listen to that. I think it's a pretty good starting point to approach season 2017. I don't know about you, Mark, whether you've listened to it yet, but it made me change my team up a little bit when I sort of re-listened to that snippet.
Yeah, I actually learned quite a lot from listening because, I mean, it's easy to forget what the main lessons are from the year before and what the things are that people have spotted to help them succeed in this game. And, yeah, it was actually a really good reminder. So, yeah, I've made a couple of little changes too.
You were giving Faz a bit of shtick as well. That's the
bit. Well, I had a cup, at least one less zero on my ranking than him last year, so it may have given him crap a few times about that.
Yeah.
Let's hope we can reverse the order of that this year, Mark. I can be getting into you, but...
New year, and hopefully back into the top 1,000 for you, Faz.
Yep.
All right, so for this week's show, we are going to cover the first picked players in our teams. Probably look at that by line. I think we'll have a quick squeeze at Essendon, because I think some of their players have got... most of their players have got a discount. They were suspended last year. And then we're going to talk about the round 9 bye that we missed last week. And then finish the show by talking about players who have swapped clubs over the off-season. And that list took me quite a while to actually type out, so... feels like a lot more than usual swap clubs last year, so there's quite a bit to go through. Why don't we start off with first pick players? Mark, who was your first sort of pick player overall? Did you have anyone that you just banged straight in there?
I guess, as was mentioned on the review show last year, Maxi Gawn, not having him in my team, put him in straight away pretty much.
Yeah.
So I can avoid that level of pain that I went through last year. So he was probably my first pick. What about you?
Yeah, actually, that was the same for me. Gawn and Danger was sort of my first two in. I guess the easiest thing to start by doing when you're picking a team is picking the top-ranked players, so that was pretty easy.
Interestingly, today was the first day that Dangerfield has actually come into my team, and it coincides with the day where he copped a bit of a corky in the intro club at their family day, so Dangerfield's certainly not first pick for my team this year.
Faz, how about you, mate?
Yeah, well, when I logged in, I sort of did it by line just because that's the way that defaults too. I had a look at the back line, decided that was too hard, and so I got to the midfield. And I think it was mentioned in last week's show when we were talking about first pick players, I stuck to my guns and went for Paddy Cripps. I said last year I put him in for a one-week test run in round 23, and he did fantastically. And I see him as being a real centrepiece of Carlton's team this year. Probably get more attention, but I think he's... good enough of a player to just have an absolute blinder of a season. So I think it was Paddy Cripps was actually my first picked player, and then obviously got down to the rucks and locked in the two big boys in Gawn and Goldstein.
Nice.
I think there's some talk of a back injury with Paddy Cripps, which has limited his preseason. Otherwise, yeah, he would definitely be one of the first picks for my team as well.
All right, let's actually go through a first pick by position. I think we did this early in last preseason as well, and it was a pretty good exercise to reflect upon once we hit the last week of the preseason. So starting in the back line, let's go around the table and share who we first picked there. Mark?
Really, the first pick player for me was Taylor Adams. Watched him quite a bit last year and had him in a lot of the daily fantasy competitions because, I mean, he's really good at Dream Team, really good at racking up the stats. And I think that at some point that will start converting a bit more to Supercoach. So having someone that's playing a lot of time as a midfielder in a Collingwood team that might do a bit better this year, he was definitely the first one that I was confident in picking. I guess the main knock on him is his durability because he has... not played a full season out before.
Faz, how about yourself, mate?
I settled on Jason Johannesson. I keep getting his name wrong still. Maybe by the end of his career I'll get that right. But
Like Jarrod Janssen from the podcast
last
year.
That's right, Janssen, yeah. Old favourite. Johannesson was my first pick. Probably a little bit swayed by his finals campaign as well. He played a real pivotal role, obviously, for the Doggies in their premiership. Mm-hmm. And he just had a blinder of a season last year when he could get on the park. And so, if he can play a full season out, I see it, him being a great pickup in the back line. Were you sharing either of those two with us, Marcus, or did you have another unique one?
Taylor Adams is, I think I mentioned him last week, Mark, as a player I was quite excited to pick up for season 2017. But I think if I'm looking at sort of first locked, I'm maybe a little bit more tempted by a value player at this point. Maybe a Hamish Hartlett type, who's 423,000. He plays in the midfield and he's capable of averaging 100 just because he's got a little bit more value in him. It's a fairly risky pick, I suppose, because he has been poor with soft tissue injuries in the past, and Port Adelaide over the last couple of years, it's been ridiculously difficult to get a trend line on their performance. But yeah, early stages, I'm actually really attracted by his value.
He was actually the second guy that I was going to say. So I feel like we may both have him in our team at the start of round one, Marcus, and we'll be riding that train together.
Yeah.
It'll be Daniel Rich, Mark too. Oh, God. We can do it better this time.
All right, off into the midfield now, fellas. This one, I think, has probably been one of the harder midfield sort of mixes to have to determine when considering seasons past. I'm definitely struggling in terms of trying to fit in 5-6 premium midfielders, and it's really putting a squeeze everywhere else on the ground. But first pick, Mark?
Yeah, you're right. It is tricky because there's so many great options. I think Nathan Fyfe at 570,000 is probably the one that really stands out, just capable of being the number one player in the competition. And I know that there's a lot of durability concerns and a lot depends on how Fremantle perform this year. But at that discount, I think he is an absolute lock. And for me, Mark Murphy at 432 was straight in behind him.
That's not too surprising, I suppose, from you, Mark.
And I'm not picking Cochin this year.
It's got to be one or the other, right?
Yeah.
Faz, how about yourself, mate?
It's another guy that's actually right at the same price as Mark Murphy, as Dane Beams. I think they're bang on at 432,500, the two of them. So Beamsy is a guy that's gone straight into my team. You know, obviously he's had issues with his body, as a lot of the guys at that sort of price are going to. But you know, he's a guy that I think has shown in the past that he can really pump out those huge. I don't know if he's done it for a whole season, but there's been patches where he's sort of been averaging 120
for sure,
you know, a good chunk of the season. So yeah, at that price, I find that pretty hard to go past.
I really like that one, Faz. Beams. It's hard to go past 5 because I think he can rival Dangerfield in just that price point that he's at. But yeah, those two are fantastic options. And I think another one that's really right up there is David Swallow at 280,000. So it's going to be pretty hard to omit either of those three. I think it's pretty early in the preseason to say, like, there's three players in the midfield all who make really, really good cases to not leave your midfield over the course of the season. But I think all three make pretty damn good case for themselves.
Just watch Beams. I don't think he's had an overly convincing preseason compared to some of the other guys. So that might open some possibilities there.
All right, into the rocks now. This one's, I guess, a little bit easier to do. Mark, you said Maxi Gawn for yourself.
Well, yeah, his first pick for my team. And as far as second pick, there was definitely Goldstein was in there straight away. And I said that in the review show as well, that I think we spoke on the review show that that's just going to be such an obvious lock this year, is Gawn and Goldstein, given their prices and what they did last year. I guess that there's just some fitness doubts on Goldstein at the moment. I think he's, sitting out for maybe a couple of weeks at the JLT series. So that's just a wait and see and a watch on him, although he does have a great ability to just keep getting up for games.
Faz, how about you, Matt?
Yeah, definitely had Gawn locked in and Goldstein pretty closely behind him. I'm sure that across the preseason we'll probably toy with the idea of trying to pull out Goldstein and see if we can generate a bit of extra value there, because I know, you know, there's guys like Steph Martin who are he's a full 100,000 cheaper than Goldstein. So, you know, when you start to think about the upgrades you can make elsewhere on your field by doing a switch like that, I'm sure that down the track I'll be playing around with that. So Gawn's a sort of lock and throw away the key. Goldstein, not so solidly locked down just for now.
Definitely agree with those comments. I think you'd either be going Gorn Goldstein or Gorn Martin this year. It's whether you want to take the extra money that going to Martin enables you to do sort of more creative stuff elsewhere on the ground. Yeah, I think the fact that there's question marks over the fact that Magic Daw might spend a bit more time in the rucks this year means that there's a bit more question marks over Goldstein, but I think the same could be said about Martin. I think Gorn, because of that, becomes like very clear in a way the first picked in the rucks this year, so pretty easy one. To the forward line, Mark, I know you're very tempted by the options there, so was that a difficult one to pick for you, your first picked in the forward line?
No, actually, that was... I mean, he could have easily got the first pick from my whole team, and that's Luke Dalhouse at 520,000. I have some doubts on the Bulldogs this year and whether there'll be some sort of premiership hangover and where Dalhouse fits in that, but he is a 600,000 forward available at 520. So even though I got burnt very hard by bringing him in the week he got injured last year, he is absolute lock for my team.
I think the player that I'd consider as a foil to Dalhouse, or maybe pick the head of Dalhouse, maybe a fellow Bulldog compatriot available in the forward line this year, also a forward mid, Jack McRae. 511,700. We've seen him average, I think, 99 point something in his second or third season in the AFL. He's available in the forward line, but he'll spend a fair bit of time in the midfield as well, you would have thought. And I really like Dalhouse, but I just think his ceiling is a little bit more capped at potentially that 105 mark, which is still fantastic for his price. But Jack McRae could quite legitimately bloom as a player and establish himself as a midfielder. And so there's a little bit more potential for growth there. And considering both their starting prices, I'd be as confident in McRae, who would get a little bit more midfield time, I would have thought. But Dalhouse was also very, very much a lock, so hard to leave either of those guys out for my team early on in the preseason. The next topic that I want to talk about is some of these Essendon blokes. So they appear to be cheaper because they've not played any games last year. That's not just my eyes playing tricks on me. That's true, isn't it?
That is true.
Yeah, but yeah. They got a 10% discount on their what their price would have been from last year. So not the full discount you'd get for missing a whole season, but obviously unique circumstances. So they've given them the 10% discount. So a bit of value to be had.
Yeah, for sure. I think that means, you know, we've got to pay a little bit more close attention to these blokes because 10% discount, and if anything, hopefully, you know, they should come back fitter, stronger, refreshed and with a hunger. I think Essendon too sort of tailed off when the wheels were falling off the bus right at the end there. So they might be undervalued in the sense that they just maybe underperformed in their last year in the AFL as well. So definitely good value on offer there. Any blokes that you guys are considering? We've got two Essendon supporters here. So let's look at not only the players still at Essendon, but potentially those that are at the new clubs as well. I know for my own team, I have one bloke who's moved from Essendon that's in my team at the moment, Hibbard. 400,000 in the back line. I think that looks like pretty good value. Normally decent for a 95 type average.
Yeah, it does sound like you'd be taking a bit of a risk, especially if you went Adams, Hartlett and Hibbard in the back line. All three of those guys have some durability concerns, which would concern me a little bit. Hibbard, you'd think, to play an important role for Melbourne, though. He could even improve on any previous average. He could be the general coming out of halfback for them. So, yeah, I think at 400,000, as long as he stays fit, he's a pretty safe pick.
Anybody else you're considering, mate?
Yeah, Heppel is very good chance of making my team. And I know that you think I'm being silly, but he is he's 24 years old, just been made captain, has averaged 106 and 104 in his last two seasons. That was when Essendon were really struggling as a team, because of all the factors that we've mentioned. And then you add a bit of support around him with some of the emergence of players like little Zachy Merritt. And I think that could really boost him up, and that 110 to 115 would be well within his reach. And at 510,000, that's a great result. And obviously a bit of bonus pleasure for me for barracking for him, hopefully.
Faz, is Mark being crazy or are you considering the same thing?
Yeah, Hep was one of the first guys I looked into my team. But, you know, okay. you might be getting a little bit of groupthink here between the two Bombers supporters. But yeah. I'd echo everything that Mark said. I've always been a fan of Hep. I've picked him in seasons gone by. The one part of his game that he needs to improve is his goal kicking. He's not kicked as many goals as some of the elite midfielders have. So if that's something that he can improve on this year, then I can see him really pushing up there and being one of the top sort of 8 or 10 midfielders in the comp. So at that sort of price, that's a real good deal.
And I think the final one for me is Paddy Ryder, who I know I mentioned briefly last week, but just want to bring him up again, as averaged over 100 twice in the past. So if you picked him up for 418,000 as a forward and he averaged 102, that would be a huge win at that price. I guess, as you sort of suggested, Marcus, as well, last week, was that his durability in his last few seasons hasn't been as good, but maybe a year off might have done him the world of good.
If I could just bring up one other guy, that'd be Dave Myers. I know we don't often speak about the rookies until later in the preseason, and Myers is at that price. He's 133,000, but by no means is he a rookie. He just had a pretty hard run with injury in the season before the suspension. I think he played 2 minutes of the first game and then did his shoulder and was basically out for the rest of the year. So coupled with missing another year last year, his price is right down there at the rookie price. He's never been a guy that I've considered in Supercoach before because he's not a premium mid. And so for that reason, I have never tracked his scoring too well, but I think he's sort of a pretty reliable 80, 85 sort of scorer. And I've heard it elsewhere on the internet, people saying that they're not sure whether the younger midfielders at Essendon have overtaken Myers' place in the team. But I felt that in that year that he was out, Essendon really lacked another big body in the midfield. We had Job for most of the season, but we really lacked the second one in Myers because he's just got that big frame and he's good at getting in there and feeding the ball out to some of the other players, and he's got his huge boot as well. So I think he's a required player in the team. I fully expect him to be there in the starting 22 come round one, and barring any injury issues, I see him playing the full season out. So I sort of have him as a absolute lock at this stage.
Yeah, I think that his long kicking is such a weapon. It's a little bit like Suckling, even though he's got his detractors, just gets picked every week. And I think you'll find the same with Myers. But because he can tear games open with his ability to kick so long, that's just too much of a weapon to really need him.
All right, next conversation topic, talking about the round 9 bye. So apparently, that's a round 9 bye this year. I didn't know about it, so hopefully I wasn't the only one, but one of our kind listeners brought it to my attention. Round 9, Gold Coast and Port Adelaide are having a round off because they're not taking a break across the bars, is that right?
Because they're playing in China.
Very interesting. So what does that mean for Supercoach? Don't think that there's sort of too much to plan for. If anything, it sort of seems like a good thing that we get to clear two clubs a bit earlier than the rest and plan for them separately. It's just as though they had an earlier bye or earlier short-term injury, but you'd hope that you have enough emergency to cover them at round 9.
Yeah, it is something definitely to think about, though, because it will be a full-scoring round that round. So you'll have two teams missing, but you'll still be playing 22 players on your field. I know people have been looking at maybe a Paddy Ryder or Jared Witts sort of combination in the rucks. Like, both of those guys would be out in the same round, so you'd have to trade one of those guys out.
But, I mean, it's not as though across the byes you actually get 18 premiums playing for you each round anyway, right? Like, you only have 22 players, so even if they're all premiums, like, you'd still be missing a premium or two each week. It doesn't seem like too bad a thing to sort of get a couple of those byes cleared off right up front.
Oh, if you can get through round 9, it's going to be a huge advantage going into round 11, 12 and 13, and you'd be great to have as many of those players in your team in around 11 and 12, 13 and not have to worry about them being on a bye. But if you do have too many going into round 9 and there is a bit of carnage that week, then that could leave you really exposed.
I guess there could be decent argument made strategically that you should actively avoid Gold Coast and Port Adelaide premiums, because for the first time when you hit the first official buy round, you'll be able to actually trade into clubs that have actually played their buy. So you could trade in Gary Ablett during the first buy round and actually be able to trade around the buys even for that first round.
Yeah, it's a very good point, because we've never had that in the past. Normally, coming into the first buy, you don't want to be banking too many moves, because
that's right.
If anything, you're just bringing in a guy who's going to miss next week or the week after. But for once, we've got a...
You could bring in Ryder for that, ruck forward flexibility after he's come off his round 9 bye.
Robbie Gray, Michael Barlow, those sort of guys.
And because there's only two clubs, I guess you could argue that you'd want to keep your options open so that you have at least the option to trade in potentially a couple of players from Port and Gold Coast. So if you can't find more than three players that you'd like to have from those two teams by the end of round 22, maybe you wouldn't start with any Gold Coast or Port Adelaide premiums at all. So very interesting.
Yeah, I guess the counter to that is that because Gold Coast and Port had down years last year, a lot of their players are discounted coming into this year. So you've got like the Paddy Ryder, Hamish Hartlett, David Swallow discounts going on. So the temptation is still to start them anyway.
I'm actually quite looking forward to this dynamic, to be honest. Something different to plan around strategically is always interesting. All right, we'll move on to the last topic for the week, and we're covering players who've moved clubs over the off-season. So players that might be playing in a new role, might get more opportunity, might be playing for potentially a team playing off for the top four or the top eight, and therefore more likely to score points. Generally, players moving clubs tend to translate into a slight uptick in terms of scoring, so why don't we start off with Josh Caddy. Geelong moving across to Richmond, available as a mid forward. Last week I talked about being quite excited about the potential of picking him up in a year where we have less sort of midfield options available in the forward line. Faz, will you echo those sentiments? Are you considering Caddy at all?
Yeah, absolutely. 488,000 is a pretty alright price to be playing for a guy that's in 2015 averaged 94 points. So if you can replicate that in the forward line, you'd be fairly happy. And you know, he's still a fairly young guy, so you'd be hoping for a bit of improvement as well. So I'd say a 100 average is not out of the question, definitely.
Got to agree with that, mate. Just the fact that Faz mentioned if he equaled what he did last year and averaged about 94, you'd be kind of disappointed and would hold your team back, but it's not going to be a devastating situation. So you would hope that maybe given his age and his role change at a new club, that might be a baseline for him. So the upside's there. It seems like a pretty decent gamble on Caddy.
Brett Delidio over to GWS. Just got to track his preseason and how that calf goes. But if they're winning a lot of games, Mark, he might be a decent pickup. I know there is injury risk attached to that, but I don't think he's completely scratched off the list for mine.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I guess some chance that people will bring him in at some point during the season. It'll be really interesting to see what happens when he plays in a team that is not so reliant on him. I mean, he's just never had that at Richmond. In the last number of years, he's always been sort of a top three or four player, and that he just always gets it done for the Tigers. But can he have quiet games? Will not having any pressure on him, not having anyone tagging him week to week, really allow him to sort of score really, really well? There's a lot of unknowns there, and he does have a fair bit of upside even at his price.
I'd say resting is probably a huge issue for Lids later in the year. If, as we expect, GWS have a really good run and they're sort of sitting, you know, comfortably in the top two on the ladder, he would seem like a prime candidate for a rest later in the season.
Next bloke, Pierce Hanley, moved over to Gold Coast. Unfortunately, available in SuperCoach in the midfield only. So used to be a backline player, but 470,000. We've seen the bloke's upside. I mean, this guy can score 110 plus. Consideration at all, or too expensive as a mid-price midfielder?
Even what his highest average before was 103, that's just not enough as a midfielder. I think the most relevant guy to me would probably be Dion Prestia at Richmond. He's the guy that has got 106 average in his past, expected to play even more midfield minutes, and seems like he has the potential to do 120 average for a season. I'm not saying that he's going to do it this season, and I think that Richmond are not going to do well enough in my eyes that I would justify picking Prestia, but he does seem to be the one with the highest scoring ceiling of all the players that have been traded over the summer.
My concern is that if he's in that sort of form to be scoring that many SuperCoach points, he would, in my opinion, be tagged over Cochin. So I think like if Prestia becomes a big sort of success story at Richmond, it might make Cochin actually be the better SuperCoach option out of the two of them because he finally gets lifted from that tag.
Don't start with that crap. I'm not falling for that crap. I'm not looking in to bring Buddy Cochin into my team, mate. Come on.
Just planting the seed. I like it.
Not listening. Well, no, I think that you make some really good points there. Probably the other guy that has the highest potential career-wise is maybe Tom Mitchell. What do you reckon about him going to the Hawks? He's shown in the past that if John Longmire played him in a lucrative role every week, which you'd think he'd get at the Hawks, then he could average 120 plus easily.
Definitely agree with that. I think there's so many good midfield options this year that I wouldn't want to pay so much for Mitchell unless I was that certain that he was going to break out, because at his price point, he's competing with, you know, Bontempelli, with Treloar, and with a lot of these sort of young blokes that I'm potentially a little bit more excited about and that I have a bit more certainty over because they're not sort of changing club landscape that they're playing in. I also don't really know how Hawthorn are going to do this year. If they're still a top four contender, then Mitchell looks a lot more attractive than potentially if they slide a little bit. So a few too many question marks for me.
What do you reckon, Faz? Does he get the tag every week and can he overcome it?
I can see the tag going to him just because of the age of the rest of the midfield at Hawthorn. But if the tag didn't come, I could see his scoring really jumping up. As we often talked about last year, we just sort of were never sure which of the Sydney mids were going to be the one to score big that week, whether it was going to be Hannabury or Kennedy or Parker. Mitchell was sort of trying to sort of fight his way through that. And I can see Tom Mitchell really sort of stepping up and becoming the clear-cut number one midfielder at his club, which... I'd say like a 110, 115 average is definitely on the cards.
Yeah, I think when you talk about it like that, like listening to the review show from last season, I know Jack came on and he was talking about you really want to be picking someone that the team is reliant on. And you would think that there's going to be a lot of reliance put on Tommy Mitchell this year as like sort of clearly the number one gun in that midfield.
Another bloke that I'm thinking quite seriously about picking is Cam McCarthy. He's quite cheap, 200,000, but they've basically hung out for a whole year to get this bloke in their team. He's stuck out that time in WA and basically walked out on the GWS in the year that they were contending for the premiership. He would be, you'd hope, determined to make a little bit of an impact and at 200,000 hopefully deliver a little bit of value.
I guess it's going to be tricky that he's going to cop the number one defender every week, and a lot of his potential is going to be dependent on how well Fremantle do, but yeah, certainly someone to consider and watch over the preseason.
Jordan Lewis, Mark, you going to pick him up again? 2017, new club?
Oh, man. Come on, give me a break. No, he's a little bit old for me now, mate.
All right.
A couple of other mid-prices people looking at. Jack Steele at St Kilda. I think there's probably just a few too many doubts over what his role would be at the Saints. I don't know whether you guys think differently about that.
How much is he priced at?
347 he is, and yeah, he's mid-forward, so you can pick him up in the forward line. You don't have to take the huge risk of having him in the midfield.
I'd say I'm unlikely to take the risk at that price.
I think that if he puts in a good game in the JLT, a lot of people are going to be taking Nathan Rovat as he's moved to North Melbourne. Price about 300,000 as a mid-forward option. Personally, I think he will still be played across half forward, not in the midfield, so I wouldn't be touching him as a result, but I think he might be a little bit of a trap, personally.
Jared Witts as a ruckman, 217,000, gone over to Gold Coast.
Well, I mentioned him before and you laughed at me, so... At the moment, Nichols is injured, so if Nichols is injured and stays injured, good chance Witts becomes a good pick, because it's hard not to average 80 as a ruckman.
I think that's probably it. We haven't mentioned O'Meara, but his knee isn't... looking like it'll allow him to play round one, so it might not be a worthwhile consideration at this point in the season.
What about Zach Tui for the Cats? He's averaged 80 the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. If I were to take a Geelong backman, it's Jackson Thurlow.
Yeah. There's probably a little bit of overhype being a Geelong supporter and a young gun that you're just trying to talk up a little bit.
I don't think he's a keeper, but he could get up to 450,000 and that might be enough, but still a fringe pick at this point. But you know me, Mark, I like to pick blokes who are priced under 300,000, so Swallow and McCarthy, and these tend to be the type of blokes I like to toss up. So Scooter Selwood, 280,000.
There's a couple of guys who are right down at the rookie price that I might just mention quickly. I know we'll probably get into them later in the preseason, but Aaron Black made the move from North over to Geelong. There's obviously a hole in that forward line with Kirsten going over to Freo. So at 137,000, I could see him being a bit of value. There's Jared Pickett, who was a very high pick at GWS and could never break into that team, but he's at Carlton now. So down at 123,000, he's a guy to look out for. He's a mid forward as well, so could be a good pickup. And finally, Jake Barrett, who's another of the GWS young guns who struggled for opportunities. He's moved to Brisbane, so I could see him getting quite a few games this year if he can get himself off the rookie list. And
played quite well in the intra club yesterday as well, man.
Oh, great news. I know that there were always big raps on him coming out of the NEFL. He was absolutely tearing games apart there, but as we all know, the midfield is just so strong at GWS, he couldn't quite break into the team, but it's a different story at Brisbane, so he's a guy to keep your eyes on over the preseason.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think that'll wrap up our second preseason show. I'm looking forward to getting games starting Thursday and Geelong play on Friday against Hawthorn. So I'm looking forward to Friday night footy as well.
Thursday night, Essendon versus Collingwood.
Very nice, very nice. Beauty. So I think we'll enjoy our weekend nights next week, it sounds like. And we'll probably record some stage next weekend as well. So hopefully we would have gotten to watch a little bit more football to reflect upon. But we'll start on the positional shows already next week. The format will be the four positional shows, and then we'll finish with a rookie show slash recap to sort of refresh the positional shows right before going into a lockout for season 2017. So thanks very much for joining us, Faz.
Absolutely. Look forward to to being back across the year.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get through a whole show without making jokes about Faz?
Yeah, I think you did. You're off the hook, Nate. You can go off next. No? Yeah.
Thank you so much to our listeners for all your support and for joining us again in season 2017. Really very much appreciated it. And we've been going for 9 years now, and you guys are basically the reason why we can keep going. We don't make a lot of money or anything out of this, so we very much appreciate your support. Don't forget, you can engage in our community at supercoachcoach.com.au/forums, and the preseason conversation is starting to heat back up. And as I post this podcast onto the Supercoach Coach website, you'll be able to access a link to our Supercoach Coach group, signed up for our ranked leagues, which tend to do pretty well. We tend to rank in the top 100 leagues, and last year we had 3 of the top 5. So if you feel like a competitive league and also give yourself a pretty decent shot at winning the round 1 league prize, then don't forget to sign up with us there. And look out for our Patreon campaign that we're going to drop very, very shortly as well. So thanks very much for joining us. Thanks to you both for another good preseason show. And we'll catch you all next week. See ya.
See ya.
See ya. Crazy.